5, beginning to read at verse 1. Peace and hope. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen.
Now then, two things come to mind. First of all, let me just remind you of the words of Jesus. And Jesus was in the conversation with the Samaritan woman, and she was talking about worship and where the Samaritans worshipped on the mountain, and the fact that the Jews worshipped at Jerusalem. And this is what Jesus said: "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on the mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, whilst we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." And then we've just sung a wonderful song. And I don't know about you, I find it hard to retain words, and I get a lot more out of music. And it's music that talks to me rather than words. However, I decided to have a look at this before we, because it's a song that we do quite a lot at Mosaic. And again, I'm focused on banging beats and all that kind of stuff, so it very rarely goes in. However, this is what it says. Second verse: Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? And here's the thing: the God of ages, the God from the very beginning, stepped down from glory onto this earth in the form of Jesus. And he, Jesus, took my sin. and he bared my shame. Now, I'm saying my, and I'm going like that. But that's that's us all, isn't it? We make this personal to us. The cross has spoken. I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Saviour, I am yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. And then we praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You, God, have broken every chain. There is salvation in your name, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. They are, having read them and digested them and understood them, great words by Phil Wickham. And as I was digesting them, so it hit me sort of between the eyeballs that this is a great way to share the gospel. Jesus, and I love this phrase that Andrew Stead once shared, and he might have done it more than once here, but Jesus, God with skin on. I love that. Jesus, God with skin on. I understand that. Came, stepped down from the glory and the perfection of heaven to wear my sin, all that I have done wrong, and to bear my shame. And Jesus is personal to me as much as he is personal to you. Jesus, the one who met that lady at the well, transforms lives and changes lives. Of all the letters that Paul wrote, Romans is the one I find difficult to understand. It's your favourite, isn't it, Brenda, I think? I've heard you say that before, haven't I? Your favourite letter. Well, it ain't mine. I struggle with it. And I think I struggle with it because it's quite wordy. Do you understand what I mean by that? You know, it's very wordy. I don't know if we've got... Oh, we have. That's marvellous. Let me just have a look in here. So, when I became a local preacher, which is 30 years ago this very year, I know, don't look it, do I? But there you go. When I became a local preacher, the Bible I chose was the New International Version, a study Bible. Of the New International Version, because I thought that was the in thing. That would be the what we had. And it's my Sunday best Bible. And boy, oh boy, sometimes I find it hard to understand. And I think that's why I find the book of Romans, the letter of Romans, difficult to understand. So this is what it says. Let me just remind you, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, please don't think that I'm going to suggest it's a bad letter, because it isn't. I'm not doing that, honestly. But reading that in that translation, my brain fries because I just can't get... I must be thick. I know that when I left school many moons ago, I came out of school with very little. And that's not decrying the teachers. Vanessa, I'm sure you're a good teacher. But I just didn't, you know, I struggled. So I came out with I've got no degrees, no A levels, no O levels, no nout. I've got a cycling proficiency badge. and I've got a grade 5 in clarinet. Hurrah. And a CSE grade 1 in maths. That's it. That's your lot. So, but I think I'm okay at reading. I'm okay at English, but it just takes a bit of working out in this particular translation, the NIV. And recently, in recent months, I've been introduced to another translation, which is the New Living Translation. And perhaps there are more people like me in the world, which is why they translated it in that way. Because in 1996, that's when it came out. All right, it's taken me, you know, so many years to catch up, but I never said I was fast. And the fog, as I've read it, has begun to lift. And now we've got, of course, Bibles online. Bible Gateway is a great resource because not only can you bring up the NIV, you can bring up something next to it. And you can bring a third thing up next to that if you want and just compare them, compare and contrast. And in the NIV, in my Bible, my study Bible that I received 30 years ago, the title is given Peace and Joy. In here, and it was given Peace and Hope. Great. So, it's about peace and hope. Is that passage? Let's go home. But what does that mean? Peace and hope. And then, in NLT, New Living Translation, and this is the title of the passage that we've read. Faith brings joy. Faith brings joy. Now then, that's worth reading. I've got to get something. If I've got faith, I will receive joy. That's what I read in that title. Faith brings joy. So, I must read on. I'm going to receive joy from God and I will be a joyful person. Hurrah! This is what the NLT version says. Verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, since we've been made right in God's sight, in God's eyes, by faith, in Jesus, we have peace with God. Having that faith in Jesus provides us with peace. And it does it because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege, where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. For me, the penny begins to drop. It's okay, it's Romans, isn't it? Yeah, it's all right. It's okay. I'm grasping it. Grasping it now, if my faith in Jesus has made me right in God's eyes, now I know that I am okay in God's eyes and have peace with him. I can be confident in my faith and I can be joyful in my faith. And I look forward to sharing with God in eternity. Praise God for that. Wow. Now, it goes on. Verses 3 to 5, NLT. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character. Character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given to us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Now, Paul's life certainly was not an easy life. Paul endured hardship. He went through problems. There were trials, both in the, you know, the literal sense. But, you know, all right, I'm going to give it back to the NIV now, because the NIV uses the word suffering. Uses that word suffering. But then Paul is talking about rejoicing in suffering. And perhaps that's something that we need to think about and, you know, contemplate at this moment in time with all that's going on in the world around us. He doesn't deny pain, but he sees past the immediate circumstance to the final results in life. Suffering teaches us to continue onwards, to continue trying rather than giving up and quitting. And if we carry on through that suffering, through the problems, through the trials, we are strengthened and we mature. Our basic character strengthens and matures. And then we gain a new perspective. Even as we suffer, we look on life with hope rather than despair, a hope based on enduring experience with God and growing faith in God's promises as enforced in our life by the gift of God's Holy Spirit. So to that gospel passage. Wow, I love that passage of scripture. John's gospel, give it to me in any translation you like. I love that gospel passage. And the story of how Jesus gets alongside people. Even those who are the poorest in society, those who are outcast by society, Jesus gets alongside and he talks with them, whoever they might be. And he gently brings them towards and into the kingdom. What's the buzzword today? The buzzword, the in word today. Coronavirus. What's all right? Connect that. Yes, you're right. Connected to coronavirus. What's the buzzword? Buzzwords. That's the one, John. Glad you've been listening to the news. Self-isolation. Well, here was a lady who was in self-isolation. Think on it. She lived in a community where people didn't want to know her. And she felt it was better for her to not have anything to do with anybody. There was too much strife. And so she left it till midday, the hottest part of the day. Other folks had been and gone. They'd been there at 6 o'clock in the morning when it was, you know, cool to get their water. But she knew that if she went at 12 o'clock, then it would be clear, nobody would be around. Her life, shall we say, was a bit complicated. She couldn't seem to find the right partner to share her life with. She wants to be loved by a man, and in genuine love. But the people, the men that she has known and been married to, haven't loved her. They have abused her. She has become an object of ridicule. And so when she approaches the well and sees a man, and not just a man, but a Jewish man, in other words, the enemy, what does she do? Does she turn and hightail it out of there as fast as possible, not bothering with the water? Or does she, you know, put on a brave face and try and ignore the fact that there is somebody sat there? Well, she decides to go to the well, and but she's very defensive. She's on the defensive. She wants to protect herself from any further abuse that might be coming her way. And she ignores Jesus, but Jesus does not ignore her. He asks her for a drink. And, you know, well, you know, why are you asking me for a drink? What's the catch? Just give me a drink. And they get into a conversation. And Jesus is treating her in a different way to other people that she's known. He's listening to her. He is treating her with respect. And then he starts to talk about water. Water that would quench her thirst completely, become a spring of water inside of her, welling up to give her life that lasts forever. And she listened, and perhaps she struggled to understand what it was that he was talking about. Perhaps she's thinking to herself, this is too good to be true. What's the catch? And then Jesus explains to her the way that God, Almighty God, fills our lives. How he leads us into the future. How he satisfies our needs along the way. How he refreshes us when we're sad and longing for good and right and fair and helpful things to happen in the world in which we live. On that day, that woman at that well at that time had a light bulb moment. In conversation with the man called Jesus, her eyes were opened, and she suddenly began to see something different. She began to hear words that began to make sense to her. And it starts to build within her. the excitement. You know, we've heard so much about a Messiah coming. We've been waiting for centuries. And when is it going to happen? And now, sitting before her, was that person. Her excitement can't be contained. She rushes off, leaving behind the very thing that she'd taken to fill up in the first place, the water jar. She rushes back to the community that has shunned her. And I don't know if she knocked on doors or if she saw people in the street, but whatever it was, she had a story to tell. She had faith in the living God. And God had spoken to her and had transformed and was continuing to transform her lives. And she wanted to share that story with those around her and not keep it suppressed. That man Jesus brought her faith, and with that faith there was joy. And with joy, an overflow of excitement. Now she has a good story to share. And the power of that enthusiastic testimony of being transformed by the love of God drew others to Jesus. Others from her village went to seek him out, to hear him. And their lives too were transformed. To put it in a nutshell, Romans 5, 1 to 11 says, lives are changed. Lives are transformed. I've got to close by reading it again to you. But I'm going to read it from an even more, well, say even more modern version. It's not a more modern version. This was written in the 1970s. But it was written in such a way that even a thicko like me can take in. And I love it. I love this writer. He's a man called Leslie Brandt. And he's written a series, or he wrote a series of books about Scripture, taking Scripture and bringing it up to date, bringing it into my sort of language. And he wrote a book called Psalms Now. Funnily enough, it's about the Psalms. He wrote another book about Jesus Now. Guess the subject. And then he's written one called Prophets Now, one called Epistles Now, and there's a variety of others. This comes from Epistles Now because it's about the letters, and this is from Romans chapter 5. So this is Paul writing. The truth of the matter is, and this in spite of those fine religious people who attempt to placate God, and they do it through means of law and rules and traditions and customs, the truth of the matter is that we have been accepted by God. And that has happened through Jesus. So this is where we now stand. And this is what we ought to celebrate. And we can well afford to celebrate this, even amid the difficult circumstances that plague us. Whether it be physical pain or mental anguish, whether it be through material loss or excruciating sorrow, friends, this does not separate us from God. And it doesn't alter our relationship with him. For when we accept and cling to what God has done for us through Jesus, irrespective of our human feelings and frailties, that the very conflicts that beset us and may even threaten to destroy us, those things become God's tools to grind and polish and temper our spirits. Those things prepare us for loving and obedient service. This is not vain hope. This is the gospel truth. God's love, and his Spirit do abide, do live in each and every one of us. And it brings joy, as it did to that lady who went to the well and met with Jesus. Amen.